Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Jiang et al. Titled, Exosomes from Pediatric Dilated Cardiomyopathy Patients Modulate a Pathological Response in Cardiomyocytes. This article published April 1, 2017. Joining me today are guest editor Sumanth Prabhu, lead author Kika Sukharov, and content expert and consulting editor David Gutterman. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. The Sukharov Laboratory tested the hypothesis that cardiomyocyte phenotype is modulated by circulating exosomes derived from pediatric patients with dilated cardiomyopathy. Kika, can you briefly review what exosomes are and then share with us the impetus to do these studies?
Sure. Exosomes are small vesicles present in the cells. They are thought to be between 30 and 100 nanometers, and they are cell-derived. So cells themselves release these exosomes into the circulation. They carry inside them coding and non-coding RNAs, they carry proteins, and they have the ability to translate these proteins in theory. They have everything that's necessary to translate these proteins within these exosomes. And we started these studies because we are working with a very small population. Pediatric heart failure is not like adult heart failure. The number of patients is very, very small compared to adults. We are focused on dilated cardiomyopathy, so these are not congenital heart disease patients. It's not known what has caused the disease. We started using serum to see if there are factors in the serum that could cause pathological response in cells. And exosomes, when we saw that there was a response, exosomes were one of the first things that we looked at to see if exosomes could be mediated in that effect, mostly because a lot of studies, especially in the cancer field, have shown that exosomes can promote that kind of effect.
Great. Kika, your team found that exposure to either serum or purified serum exosomes from these pediatric dilated cardiomyopathy patients induce hypertrophy or upregulation of hypertrophic markers independent of the renin-angiotensin system or the adrenergic system. I'd like to ask David, why is this finding important from a scientific perspective?
Well, thank you, Samantha. I think the study is important for at least two reasons. First, it starts to elucidate the underlying differences in pathophysiology of heart failure in adults and in children. And at least in terms of treating the upregulation of fetal gene expression that occurs, traditional therapies that work in adults are not demonstrated to be a benefit in children. So I think this study shows that upregulation of these genes in children does occur. It is possible, but it's via a different mechanism. And I see this is critical information for potential therapeutic options. The second, this study provides a direction for future studies designed to find out what the identity of this culprit component of the exosomes is that's responsible for the phenotypic change in cardiomyocytes. So one could anticipate that a novel contributing mechanism for heart failure in children and or adults might be revealed by analyzing the content of these circulating exosomes.
Continuing on this line of research, your group has previously focused on molecular mechanisms of both forward and reverse remodeling in heart failure. In the pediatric or the adult heart failure field, has this concept of exosomes as inducers of pathological changes been explored previously?
So to my knowledge, this has not been explored in heart failure, adult or pediatric. But like you said, past studies have focused on the beneficial aspects of stem cell-derived exosomes. In the cancer field, however, they have shown to have a detrimental effect. In fact, some of these studies that have shown that integrins that are present on the surface of these exosomes may dictate a tropism and explain metastasis. So in the cancer field, they have been shown to have a pathological effect. In the cardiovascular field, I'm not aware of previous studies that have shown that.
You know, this whole area is a very, very topical subject for cardiovascular research. David, what's the appeal of connecting exosomes and their products to pathological remodeling? And how can these studies add to our understanding of overall heart failure pathophysiology and potentially therapeutics?
That's a very interesting question, Samantha. I think that this study opens up some potential novel mechanisms for previously what I would call underexplored clinical observations in heart failure. For example, release of heart failure-derived exosomes might contribute to the well-described systemic microvascular endothelial dysfunction that's associated with heart failure and is highly prognostic for future events in heart failure. This is quite logical since the endothelial cells are the first target for all circulating particles and substances, including exosomes. So another interesting question is one that you alluded to earlier, and whether microRNA might be involved. So one question is whether conditions like cardiorenal syndrome might involve exosomes in a manner described in this paper. There's some data showing that microRNAs from the heart might be responsible for inducing renal dysfunction, and perhaps exosomes, which are carrying non-coding RNA, might be involved in this process. Thus, exosomes could explain these and maybe other systemic complications of heart failure.
That's very, very interesting. There's a lot of intense interest in exosome purification from disease conditions as well as characterization. Kika, as you point out in the manuscript, the purification of exosomes is a non-trivial endeavor. And I'd like to ask you, in your experience, what are the technically challenging aspects of working with exosomes?
We tried two different methods to purify exosomes. We used the ultracentrifugation and we used an exosome purification kit. We obtained similar results. Working with children, we have very limited amount of serum that we can use. So we ended up using the kit for the other experiments just because we could get more exosomes from those kids. With the ultracentrifugation, we tend to lose quite a bit. With that aspect, once we knew that using the both methodologies, we were obtaining similar results, we felt confident that we were working with exosomes. One of the biggest issues that I say we had was actually trying to inhibit exosome uptake in the cells that to prove that this was exosome mediated. There are no good exosome uptake inhibitors that are specific for exosomes. Depending on the cell type, there are different mechanisms to uptake these exosomes. So clathrin is one, other works in the MAP kinase pathway, others depend on actin polymerization. Some of the more common inhibitors that some people have used killed cardiomyocytes. Right away, they killed cardiomyocytes. So we ended up using one that inhibited actin polymerization. But again, it could have multiple effects in the cell. I think with time and people better understanding the biology behind exosome uptake, I think there will be better ways of inhibiting uptake.
Now, one other question that comes up is that you're studying the disease of heart failure, which is a systemic syndrome, and there are multiple cell types that can secrete exosomes, and there may be multiple targets. Do you have thoughts as to the cell sources of the exosomes that are circulating in your pediatric patients?
Exosomes could come from anywhere. They could even be coming from myocytes. I actually think that some of these factors that we are seeing present in exosomes, they could just be coming from myocytes because myocytes in disease are overexpressing some of these factors. And it just becomes this positive feedback loop with the exosomes. There was a recent study that showed that adipose tissue is an important source of exosomal microRNA. I don't know how well that would relate to heart failure at this point. I really think that immune cells may be playing an important role in releasing these exosomes and that play a role in heart failure. But at this point, we don't know exactly where they come from.
Yeah, that's indeed a complicated area. David, this study focused on pediatric heart failure and exosomes in pediatric disease. What might be the implications for adult heart failure, and how might the biology be different?
Well, I think there are definite potential implications from this paper, and future studies will be interesting to look into that. Clearly, angiotensin receptors and beta adrenergic receptors play a major role in adult heart failure with reduced ejection fraction in terms of outcomes, in terms of symptoms, and have driven our therapies for improvement. These appear less important in children with heart failure, but there still is something in those exosomes that's causative of their heart failure problems, as demonstrated. It'll be interesting to see if this mechanism, once it's defined, is also active in adult forms of heart failure, where it may be additive to beta adrenergic blockers and angiotensin receptor blockers. And it will also be interesting to look at potentially heart failure with preserved ejection fraction, where we see similar adverse biochemical remodeling, similar adverse outcomes, and at least in the case of HFpEF, traditional therapies are ineffective.
Clearly, a lot of work needs to be done. So this leads to the logical question, Kika, what are the next steps for this interesting work that you're doing, particularly with in vivo evaluation and clinical translation of the role of exosomes?
We have done several experiments since publication of this article. One, trying to identify this factor, which we've talked a lot about. Another thing that we have done is we have performed a transcriptome analysis of the cells treated with serum from exosomes to see what were the changes that were being promoted by these exosomes in the cells. There are two disease processes that we are working with. One is the dilated cardiomyopathy, and one is the single ventricle heart disease population. Those kids are very different. They are under pressure overload. In a way, their heart failure looks more like an adult heart failure because it's the pressure overload-based response. Our pediatric dilated cardiomyopathy kids, we don't know exactly what's causing the disease.
Well, I'd like to thank you both for a very interesting discussion. And I wonder either, Kika or David, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
The only thing I would say is that we need to keep in mind that this was an in vitro study. I think it's going to be difficult to use exosomes from humans in animals just because of there might be an immune response rejection to a human exosome in a mouse. But I'm hoping that once we have a better idea of what those factors are, then we can then do a target approach using those factors in an in vivo system and see how they affect myocardial function.
David, do you have any final thoughts?
I think this is a very interesting finding that may open a new avenue for potential diagnostic and therapeutic approaches to heart failure, potentially in areas we haven't considered yet for the adults, and as a novel way to begin treating as a first therapy, a new therapy, heart failure in children. I think that's very exciting.
Great. Kika Sukharov, thank you for submitting this work to AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. David Gutterman, thank you for providing your expert opinion. I appreciate your time and the excellent discussion that we've had. Back to you, Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.